Welcome to Talking Allergies, the podcast where we talk all things allergies about all types of allergies in all kinds of allergy lives.
From food allergies to environmental allergies, special guests, community stories, allergy and science giveaways, and more.
This is your allergy podcast for all things allergies.
Hi, Melrick.
Hi, Grace, and welcome to another episode of Talking Allergies. And on this episode, we're going to be talking about traveling with allergies.
Traveling with allergies, a topic that gets brought up quite a bit, actually. But the question that always gets brought up with the topic is, can you travel with allergies?
Well, Grace, I can only speak for myself. But with my pollen, dust mite, and, you know, pet animal allergies, which are the ones that really impact me when traveling, I can, and I have, and I will continue to.
Can, will, and have, and continue to.
Hey, I thought you were asking me this question, like, you put me on the hot seat, sort of like a, I'm going to make a statement about that. So, well, I mean, wait. Grace, can you travel with allergies?
I can, will, and in all seriousness, I actually have traveled with severe food allergies, environmental allergies, dust mites, and all of my allergies. Yes, I have traveled. I've traveled in a state, overseas, on cruises, a whole lot, actually. I've traveled everywhere that I've wanted to so far, but yeah.
As a question whether we can travel with allergies, it wasn't supposed to be I've gone on boats, I've been flying.
I know. It's just that, okay, so the questions that get asked is,
yeah,
with severe food allergies, you can't go to China. Been to China. You can't go on a cruise. I've been on a cruise. Like, there's the questions that I get are very much, you can't do this, you can't do that, and I have done it, so therefore that was my answer.
If you're traveling overseas, especially overseas, every country has different laws, including laws on how they deal with allergies. So, and one of the really important things, and this is for international travelers, to understand what those laws are, but also understand what the hospitals are. What is, like, Triple O in Australia, for example, is our emergency number. You go to America, for instance, it's like 911. Like, what is it in different countries that you go to?
A great point, Melrick, particularly with calling Triple O and also knowing the emergency numbers overseas. But a good point with that one is always charge your phone. Have a phone power bank thing that you carry with you.
Oh, you can get those pretty cheap these days. So
you can.
Just get a power bank. I know you can get them from the airport and stuff if you're going overseas or, like, train stations these days. I think they sell them in, like, just little vending machines nowadays.
They do. And if you're traveling overseas, make sure you get the SIM cards as soon as you land. It's the most important thing with you is your phone to be able to call for emergency help. So make sure it's charged.
And now this is not allergy related, but good point about the SIM cards. Some actual Australian providers do allow you to use your SIM cards overseas. So that's actually quite handy. But make sure you turn that on before you go overseas, because otherwise that international roaming. But of course, if you're going in Australia, down here, if you're going down under, if you're going to the, you know, outback, or you're going, just going camping in the bush, you know, wherever you're going, if it's somewhere that you're going to be remote, where you may think, hey, I might not be able to communicate with people, might not be able to contact people through my normal device. Maybe get like a temporary SIM card, like a prepaid or something, with a service provider that has coverage, or get one of those satellite phones if it's in your budget. Just in the case of emergency, you know, we're talking about if you have a reaction, but in the case that you don't have a reaction, you know, just carry your medications with you, just to be prepared for that. Just having things like snacks and so forth with you if you have food allergies, safe snacks. You don't want to find yourself in a situation, whether local or overseas, where you have no other choice but to eat what's in front of you. So if you are able to, and it's possible, carry some backups. So snacks is always a good backup.
Yeah, carrying as much food as you possibly can that you do know is safe if you have a food allergy or you're traveling with someone that has a food allergy, and making sure that food is available to them so that it's that the food, if it is safe for them to eat, that it's there for them, and that the others are not contaminating the food or eating it all before the food allergy person actually has it.
Definitely, yeah. Don't share your food. So, I mean, I'm not saying, you know, keep your food to yourself, but if it's allergy friendly, yeah, stock up on it, and it's your stash.
Yeah, the reason I bring it up is because whenever I've travelled, I've opened something and everyone's gone, oh, I'd like some. Oh, I'd like some. And I say, no.
You've got to be prepared for the unknown challenges. So another sort of thing we talk about, of course, is along with carrying your medication, is telling people about it. So showing and telling them about it. So make sure you are making people aware. If you're in Australia, you know, be like, oh, hey, mate, can't have that, or got these allergies, and that's okay. You can do that down over here. But if you're going overseas, especially overseas, you might need to translate it. So I know some countries don't even have the same words for those foods. So you might need to find the closest representation, or maybe even photos. I know some people take photos of like foods and be like, hey, can't eat this. You know, whatever makes it easier for you to communicate that, that's the main thing.
The images of what you actually can't eat, especially if someone actually really doesn't understand what you're trying to communicate. Images are a great way of communicating about your allergies. But also, if they say, sorry, I'm not comfortable in able to be giving you the food, then I'm not comfortable eating it. If they're not comfortable providing it to me, I'm not comfortable to eat it. So I'm much happier if they say, actually, I don't really understand what you're talking about, and I don't really think that this food is safe for you. I'm much happier that they're upfront with me and go, actually, you can't eat it. And I'll go find something else to eat. I'll find whether they've got like some muesli bars in the back of my bag or something. Something other than something else that I know is safe is much better.
To moving on to some of the environmental or outdoor allergies. I know we talked a bit about international travel, but when we look at some of the things you can do in Australia itself, whether it's going camping, just going out, you know, bush hiking, bush walking, or just going on a trip to another state, whatever it is, you may find yourself in public locations or in the space of different allergens. So if you've got pollen allergies, of course, you know, depends on what the pollen forecast and stuff is. But if it's dust mites, you might find yourself in new places, little hotel rooms, hostels, depending on how you're traveling, that might not be clean. And you've got to take all these precautions to prepare yourself. And that does link up with food allergies too. But when it comes to environmental allergies, you know, one of the really good things to do is to do some research. Do some research before you go ahead. Find out about the destinations. Find out, for example, you know, is this a destination that maybe has pollen, a history of pollen? Is this the hotel you're going to? Is it what's the cleanliness in the hotel like? Do they offer some sort of cleaning they can do for you? Then looking at things like camping. So, for example, look at the actual places you're going to. I know there's a lot of people out there that have insect allergies, like insect to bees. You could also have, there's of course the tick that can be out in the jungle and sort of jungle out in the bush. So do your research. Find out especially what your allergies are. Find out what could be in the destinations you're going to.
Also, not just one. If you have allergies, you may have different types of reactions and different types of medications to bring with you. So having a full bag of items that you use, so different things that you would have, like antihistamines, emergency medication, all of it all in one bag is actually really helpful. Not only for you, but the people around you as well. Because if you're having a reaction, it may be a different type of reaction or something else in the environment that's triggering you. So it's a good thing to always carry everything in one bag. But with environmental allergies, what are your things that you carry most?
Well, I got a range of things I carry with me. You've got antihistamines, you've got nasal sprays, got wet wipes. Some N95 masks as well, depending on what you've got going on. But environmental allergies, you know, and you always carry spares too. So I usually, if I've got like some on me, and I'll have some of my extra luggage as well. Depends on what you're doing. If you're doing a smaller trip, it's okay. you don't have to carry too much. But if you're going to be away for a longer period of time, especially if you're going overseas, you might not know the same brands. They might be in different languages. You just don't know what to do. I'm not saying that will be the case. Some countries are quite sort of connected in terms of the same languages and words used, but you might find yourself in a place where they have used different wordings or translated it, and you're like, what is this? So you might just find it easier just to have your own on you. I'm not saying you shouldn't speak to the pharmacists in the other countries or the hospitals and find out more of the doctors, but at the same time, be prepared to have your own on you too.
Great insight, Melrick, into what you're carrying.
What about you, Grace? I mean, I've talked about my environmental allergies, what I carry with me, but you've got food allergies. I know you've got some environmental ones, but with your food allergies specifically, and you've also got anaphylaxis, so what would you do? You carry a bag with? Do you have a big bag or a small bag or heavy bag, a light bag?
Okay. So when I travel heavy. I've got a whole range of bags and stuff. Mostly shoes, clothes, but no, I really do carry emergency medication on me at all times. I have a little on-the-go soap. So there's like the little soaps that you've got is like a one-use soap that just clips onto the bag so that I can wash my hands instead of using any bacterial wipes or sprays that don't actually get rid of the allergens before I eat. So making sure I've got that little soap. I've got my letter from my doctor to say these are my medications.
That's a great one. That is a really – I've heard a lot of people do this as well. Just get a letter from your doctor saying these are my allergies, all types of allergies, not just food related, like just to make sure people take you a bit more seriously, but not just – other countries, like going like through airplanes and stuff, they sometimes need to see that extra letter just to be like, okay, you can carry your medication on you.
Yeah, and especially because it's like a full bag. So even if you're going to like a museum, right? So if I was going to a museum overseas, you've got the little check system and it goes beep, 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 beep. And so you've got your little medication bag. You actually have to hand it off to them. And because I've got so much in there, they actually go through everything. And having that letter from the doctor means that they go, oh, okay, you can take this all in, instead of me having to justify every single item in that bag.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Grace. And one of the funniest stories that I've just remembered, and I didn't bring it up on my list before with my environmental allergies, is I carry pillowcases with me.
Do you? I do too.
And I was on this train this one time. I don't know why, but they were going through, they asked me, they were doing a security check, and I mean, some countries just do that, but they were just, it was a general check with baggage as you enter the train, and they pull my pillowcase out and they're like, why do you have a pillowcase? And I told them, you know, it was just really awkward. And I was like, huh, I was like hypoallergenic, and they didn't understand the word. And it's a whole thing. But in the end, carrying a pillowcase with me, is something really I do all the time, actually. It's kind of like something I just do in general, even if I'm staying over at a mate's or fan, like going away, whatever. It's not a thing that I need to just think about. I just carry it with me because you just don't know what other pillows and other pillowcases have on them. It's good to have your own pillow for dust mites and, you know, anything environmental. So
you carry a little bit lighter than me. I carry a full pillowcase. With the full pillow in it and the case on top.
Wait, you carry a pillow? I carry a whole pillow. But, like, how do you fit it all in?
You just carry it. You just, like...
Wait.
So when you're going on the plane, or it's really good for road trips because then you've got your own pillow, but it has to have two pillowcases. So one for the external world and then one for when you're sleeping.
But one thing I probably left out as well from earlier is that the main thing is make sure people know as well that you are traveling with allergies.
Great point, Melrick. Telling your friends and family about your allergies, but also telling, say, the hotels that you have allergies as well is a really important tip. The same with planes and trains. Your mode of transport also really needs to know about your allergies, because you don't know. In case of a reaction, it's better that everyone knows about your allergies than no one does.
Yeah, and, you know, when we talk about communicating that with the modes of transportation or the hotels, so whether it's aeroplanes or plane, trains or hotels, or even if you're going to like a resort or something, letting them know, that's important because it also tells you if they can't accommodate for you, they'll let you know firsthand. The last thing you want is to turn up at the airport or at a hotel and then they go, oh, actually, sorry, we can't help you. Or by the way, you're going to be at a high risk, but would you like to still go ahead? That's the last thing you want. I mean, it's not good news necessarily if they say to you when you call up and go, hey, I've got this allergy. Can I still fly? Can I still go there? Can I still stay at your location? And they go, no, you can't. We cannot accommodate for you. It's going to be dangerous. It's a hard thing to hear. Like we've both had experiences of people telling us that we can't do certain things, but that didn't stop us. We were able to find another alternative. There are alternatives, always an alternative to find a way, especially to a destination or to stay in a place, you know, but it might not be option one. It could be option 10, whatever it is, but at least you know ahead of time.
It's also a good point, even with hotels, because a lot of people will say, why are you telling a hotel prior to staying? The reason is that they have these little carts with food that people might be eating on the bed or on the couches or wherever else in this room. And they might say, clean it up a little bit further, or will say, actually, don't stay in this room. We'll give you another room. But also saying, these are my allergies is actually a really good thing to do anyway.
Yeah, and like some hotels might even go to the extent of taking away some of the foods and the snack bar and stuff away before you get there. So whatever it is, call up ahead, and it's not always going to be a conversation where they're like, yeah, it's all good, you know. It's not always going to be that, but at least you know. You know, the biggest thing that we can sort of communicate with talking about travel with allergies is that check ahead so you're prepared and prepare yourself, because with allergies we know that there are always risks. There's risks regardless whether we call ahead or not, but if we call ahead, at least we're aware of some of those potential risks, and that way we can either change our decisions to make alternative plans, or we can be reassured. And then we can be a little bit safer, or be aware that we could be safer. And that can always help. You know, there's a lot of challenges in general life with allergies. We don't want to just talk about traveling with allergies as those risks, but if we can alleviate them in any way by being a little bit more reassured, that's good.
And the point that you brought up before of if they say, sorry, you can't come here because they're worried the risk is too high, and you feel worried about that, the risk was always going to be there. The risk was always going to be high. But if you have a conversation about it beforehand and you have a conversation with everyone, the hotels, the planes, absolutely every single touch point that you have on your journey, yes, it takes more time. Yes, it's annoying to do. It means that you're at least communicating the risk and they're also helping you discern what risk is there and whether it's going to be okay.
Yeah, let them know. Tell them upfront what allergies you have, whatever you're doing, whether it's, you know, getting a flight, you're going on a bus, you're going camping with mates, you're going staying in a hotel, or you're going on a cruise for a nice trip. Whatever you're doing, it doesn't matter. Just tell whoever you're dealing with. If you've got allergies, if you've got food allergies, you know, whichever situations that you may be at risk with, let them know. Even if it's like pet or animal allergies, that's something that maybe on travel people may not think about as much, but it actually nowadays, especially, there's a lot of people that carry animals with them on transportation. I mean, even trains these days, and it's nice to see that, you know, there are some animals that are support animals out there. But if you've got an allergy to a dog, for instance, you know, you might be wary of that. So just be always prepared, but also let people know ahead of time if you can, for any trips, that, hey, I've got this allergy. Is that something you can accommodate?
Is there anything that you've done with your allergies or a place that you've been with your allergies that you've taken extra precaution to but you've done that you didn't think you could go to but you actually did go?
I was overseas in Bali.
Yeah.
Right. And I was supposed to go to the zoo. And the zoo was, I don't know, like there was a lot of lines. So I decided, what else is there to do? Because I didn't want to wait that on that day. And I found out there was a reptile zoo, or rather not really a zoo, but It used to be a zoo, but it wasn't a zoo as much anymore. But they had reptiles in there, like really cool reptiles. And I got told there was a Komodo dragon there. And, you know, I'm always up to check out new reptiles and so forth. Now, it was a very old looking place. It looked like I was in an old ancient relic because everything was like faded, but it had really cool markings on it. To get into places, you had to like literally like walk down a few stairs and open these really big stone doors. I didn't think this was a real place. So I was like, okay, I'm an adventurer right now. I'm exploring. But this place was dusty as dusty could be. Like, I'm talking, there was dust everywhere. Now, I'd already paid the admission before I knew this. And I was like, okay, this is really dusty. This might not be good for me at all. So I decided to go and like make a little trip to find an N95 mask, find like a mask, and I took some medication, and I decided to wear sunnies. Well, not sunnies, but like they weren't good sunnies, so they didn't protect me from the sun, but I could still see somewhat underground. So because as I said, this was like a really ancient relic. Yeah, so I decided to walk in there. Dust everywhere. It was really scary, but I didn't have any dust mite reactions. It was great. I didn't have any reactions. And what about you, Grace? Have you done something that you didn't think you would do with your food allergies?
So I have a really, really nice story. So I traveled to China and went on a bus. And so I decided I would go out to see the Great Wall. So it's quite remote. Not a lot of places around. However, I had already told the tour that I had allergies and they were very well aware of my allergies. Anyway, so we're on this bus and no one ate at all on this bus. I loved it. But then we dropped off and we had lunch. And when we were having lunch, they actually came out and one of the ladies in the back came out and said, "This is one of our houses that we're actually having you eat at today. And I have made sure that there's nothing at all in anyone's meals for you to eat." So it was just plain rice, some beef and some veggies, and everyone had it so that it was actually really nice. So I was able to eat and feel safe enough to actually go and explore the wall straight after.
I think it's great that you were able to communicate that with them before you got there too, so they were aware of it and they obviously spoke to each other and did some preparation before you got there. And it's probably an important point for us to also reflect on but also appreciate that even though there are some places that say no or they can't accommodate and so forth, there are so many people, businesses, organizations, but also just people, really. People out there that are trying to help, that are trying to support. They may work for places that might sort of say no or might not be accommodating to begin with, but they might go and take that extra step to say, hey, actually, let's see what we can do for that person. You know, those amazing people out there that support and accommodate people that have allergies when they're traveling, you know, whether it's just simply as sort of taking the booking and making a note of it, or going as far as in your case to actually change the menu around for the whole tour and stuff, things, whatever they do, you know, that's amazing. I think it's really, really amazing that there are people out there. And if you are one of those people, you know, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. It really does make a difference when someone actually does cater or at least cares enough to cater. It makes a really big difference to not only, the person's reaction, but also to the people around them too, because going out on holiday also means that you might be around other people, and that being able to be catered for does actually assist the whole group.
Whatever support we can get with allergies, it's always appreciated, and so many amazing people out there. And you never know, you can make a friend or two out there if you meet someone that has allergies too. Start a conversation and maybe join up on a adventure together.
Yeah, I've actually done that as well. So when you're talking about allergies, it means that other people will also say, oh, I've also got this allergy, and might even help you try to communicate it. Or even if you're in, say, Australia, or you've gone to another part of Australia and you're talking about your allergies, people will bring it up as well and go, oh, yeah, I've also got that allergy. Or I went to this place, they were good. Might get some recommendations in there too.
Yeah, talk about allergies wherever you go. You know, make sure they're aware of it, check ahead of time, carry your medications, but find ways that enable you to travel.
Go out, have adventures, enjoy, but make sure that you're taking all the precautions and all of your items with you. So all your emergency medication items with you as well. But have fun and enjoy it.
If you've had any traveling adventures with allergies and you'd like to share it, you know, let us know. We're always here to learn more about people's experiences, and even with our own, sharing that through. I think we can only learn from each other and keep on talking about it, keep on sharing the word and telling people, hey, I did that with my allergies.
Managing allergies can be really difficult, but it's really nice to hear other stories about how people have managed it and how they've been able to do different things or go different places with their allergies too.
Does bring us to the end of another Talking Allergies episode, Grace.
That was a great episode, talking all things travel and allergies. But what are we talking in the next episode?
You're just going to have to tune in to find out.
On Talking Allergies.
The discussions on Talking Allergies are here to support you or your loved one on your journey with allergies. The topics discussed here are not intended as medical instruction or as a substitute for advice by a qualified healthcare provider.